Welcome to Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Hello once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 3 edition now of the Coordinator's Corner. Coming up on today's show, we'll look back on the second of BYU's back-to-back wins to open the 2023 season, a 41-16 home field victory over the Southern Utah Thunderbirds, BYU 2-0 for a fourth consecutive season for the first time in Cougar football history. We'll also preview BYU's first road trip of the season as the Cougs head to Fayetteville to face Arkansas this upcoming weekend. Our guests on today's show, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. And we kick off today's show with BYU's OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
All right, the cliche is the most improvement happens between week one and week two. How much truth is there in that from your standpoint, and where do you think the BYU offense made the most strides from Sam Houston to Southern Utah?
Well, it was definitely a step in the right direction. You know, we have a lot of work to do, but I thought we played a good, solid game Saturday. Made a lot of improvement. It is a much cleaner game, very few penalties, not as many missed assignments, and they, you know, and when you look at the big picture of the game, we won the turnover battle. We're 100% touchdowns in the red zone.
Yep.
And 2-for-2 on fourth down. You'll almost never lose if you played solid, but we won the special teams battle for sure, and our defense played well again, so it was a sound victory.
Yeah, a lot to talk about with Coach Papinga coming up on special teams. They were a big piece of the equation on Saturday. Just generally speaking, you were happier after week two.
Yeah, I mean, we still have a lot of things we need to do better, but I was happy with the win. And you know, the Southern Utah chose to play their safeties about 7 yards off the ball the whole game, you know, and so early in the game, you know, we wanted to be balanced and kind of get everything going. And it was after the second possession, it was obvious, okay, we got to throw.
Yep.
They're just going to stand there. Those safeties are going to stand that low. We're going to throw the ball down the field. And once we started doing that, we broke the game open. And I thought our passing game really came to life.
Yeah, speaking of the pass game, you got a key personnel piece back on Saturday. Keanu Hill rejoined your lineup. How big was that, regardless of the stats for a second, how important was it to have him back on the field for you?
Keanu is a very important player on our team. He's a great leader. He's experienced, one of our most experienced players. And he's a guy who's made big plays in big games, and he's tough. He brings a level of toughness. I think that, the other receivers are trying to match him. And we had some really great blocks downfield Saturday by all those guys. And,
yeah,
and Keanu's the one who sets the tone on that stuff for us.
And it was a better blocking day outside, wasn't it?
Yeah, the perimeter blocking improved a lot.
Yeah. We saw Cody Epps warm up, so he's getting closer. But he's missed the first two games this year after missing the last final five games last year. How close is Cody to suiting up, do you think?
I thought he was close Saturday, so I can't.
Less positive, though, if he's that much closer.
I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's up to how he feels.
Okay, but the stretch of games is going to get, we're going to be in the Big 12 here within a couple weeks. You'd love to have him when conference play gets underway.
We would love to have him back, yes.
Okay, you scored a first drive touchdown against Sam Houston, and you had a good first drive going a Saturday against Southern Utah till a penalty that we seldom see, we saw for a second straight week, yeah, and it wiped out a third down conversion.
Yeah, we had a silly penalty there. Just guy lined up in an illegal formation for us that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. You'll see it all the time, though. A receiver will check to the sideline and make sure he is or isn't, and it's...
One thing that we're finding out is Big 12 officials are very particular about formation alignments, and it's been, and it's okay. We have to adapt to that, and we've had Big 12 officials in the past, but it seems like it's a point of emphasis this year. They are making you clearly define more than ever who's on the ball, who's off the ball, and so it's up to us. We've got to handle that better. It was the one silly penalty we had Saturday.
Yeah.
It was, you know, one too many, but and it negated a third down conversion. We're first and 10 at the plus 40.
Yep.
Rolling right there and on our way.
And it felt like a similar situation the week before too, where it was a big play. And
that was disappointing, but it was the only one we had.
Yeah. Keaton Slovis has only thrown a single pick on the season. It came on your second drive of the game. And if he has time to throw, like another half second, I think it's a likely TD to Chase Roberts. But the T-Birds sent a linebacker. He got home on Keaton, gets hit as he throws, the ball flutters, and it gets intercepted. It was that close to being a great play.
Yeah, we had a little situation there where they early in the game we were going no huddle, and they run the same offense as us. They had their quarterbacks over on their sideline trying to pick our signals for their defense. And that was not a called blitz. That was an added, what we call an add there. The linebacker added late and got a good hit on us. After that, we huddled the rest of the game, and then it was that was a good move to go back to home.
Yeah. As you saw, did you say we got this at the snap? Yeah. Do you think we got this?
Yeah, that should have been a touchdown. We were wide open. The post was wide open there, and so that was really the only time all day that Keaton got pressured. I mean, he got bumped a couple of times, but that was the one hard hit and the only turnover so far of our season. And but again, it was disappointing we didn't score a touchdown there, but from that point on is when we really got it going.
That is right. From the third drive, thing of beauty, Keaton goes 5 for 7 on the drive. You rush 2 times for solid gains, convert a couple third downs, and then Isaac Rex gets a milestone moment. His 22nd career touchdown catch ties Gordon Hudson for the BYU career record for tight end touchdown receptions, and it was also Keaton's first BYU touchdown pass.
Yeah, Isaac is a weapon, especially in the red zone, but he's a weapon all over the field. He's just such a big target, and he has great ball skills, and felt good to get Keaton his first touchdown pass, and it was, you know, fitting that it was to Isaac.
And it was a big bounce back day for Isaac too, after kind of a quiet first game.
It was, yeah. He did not play. He was one of many of our solid or veteran players who didn't feel great about how they played the first week, and I thought he came back and had a strong performance.
You're up 6-3 after that touchdown. Then it was time for what they call complimentary football. Defense forces a 3-and-out. Special teams blocks a punt, and then the offense scores quickly on a short field, and that's when Keanu got into the end zone.
Yeah, and that's an example of team ball. You're right. And we had several examples of that, actually in both games, but in this game in particular, just we had a couple of third and longs in this game where we didn't try to get all the yards. We just tried to get it to manageable fourth down and then convert it on fourth. And those types of things give your defense more rest. And this was one case where the special teams play, the stop and the special teams play got us an easy touchdown pass here.
Keanu got way open in the back.
Yeah, he did. They like I said, SUU was extremely aggressive with their safeties. I mean, it was cover zero a lot.
There was space out there.
Yeah, so there's space down the field. I mean, they're just daring you to throw it. And they sold out to stop the run and were daring us to throw.
11th career touchdown catch for Keanu Hill. BYU takes control after another SUU 3-and-out. It was a 4-minute drive. It featured a 4th-down conversion. I want to take a look at it if we can. It was a pass play to Mason Fakahua. SU safety thought he had Mason in the flat, but not before Keaton got to Mason for the 4th-down pickup.
Yeah, just a little play action pass here. I mean, again, we're calling a pass here because of how aggressive they were being with their safeties to stop the run. And, you know, the offensive lineman can only block 5 guys. Every run play, you're going 9 against 11 because the quarterback doesn't block anyone and the ball carrier doesn't block anyone. And when their safeties are down there that low, there's no way to account for them other than throw a pass. And so we got the ball quick here and just move the chains. It's a nice, easy play.
The drive ends on a big play. It was Darius Lassiter scoring his first BYU touchdown. It was a play that almost didn't get off. Keaton had a high snap to handle, which he does well. And then it's a wide receiver screen to the open field. Braden Keim shoots out, gets enough of his guy to free Darius, and then Darius does a nice job staying in bounds and finding the end zone.
Yeah, great job handling the snap, first of all. And then we had some good downfield blocking. And Darius, yeah, his brother had 2 interceptions the night before for Kansas, and then he scored a touchdown in this game. And I think his other brother played for the Bengals yesterday, so his mom had quite a weekend watching football.
That's quite a family. And in fact, you go back to the dad was also a DB at Kansas back in the day. In fact, if you go back to the 1992 Aloha Bowl against BYU, I think he was the lead tackler for Kansas in that game.
Yeah, that's a heck of a football family.
Yeah, and nice to see Darius get his first for BYU too.
Yeah, he's been a great addition to our team, and I think he'll just get better and better as he gets more comfortable in our offense.
By the way, and that is, you don't see a ton of screens where the wide receiver's by himself out there to start the play.
Yeah, that's a play that we've had in the offense for a while now. We actually threw a bunch of them to Dallin Holker a couple of years ago, then last year we kind of got away from it. It was threw a couple of them to Puka, and now, you know, time to dial it up this week.
Okay, since you brought up Puka, man, I mean, come on, yesterday's debut?
Yeah, he's a beast. He's a great player.
I mean, they lose Cooper Kupp, and they basically have him fill the Cooper Kupp role, and he puts up, like, the same numbers.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised at all, and not one bit. He's a playmaker.
All right, back to your game. It was 20-3 BYU, and you guys pretty much put the game to bed right before halftime, and it was set up by that Camden Garrett interception, getting you the ball back. You got 107, so you're in the two-minute offense, but you didn't need 2 minutes. You only needed two plays, and the big play was a strike to Isaac Rex that got you close. Beautiful throw and catch here.
Yeah, they played a really strange coverage on that play. We're not even sure if they made a mistake or what they were doing, but
with too many guys in the same spot.
Yeah, but Keaton found Isaac and just threaded it. I mean, it was an unbelievable throw.
Amazing throw.
Really great throw, and then
good angle
just
of it here.
Just need Isaac to unhitch the trailer here a little bit and get in the end zone.
he thought he had the record breaker on this one.
Yeah, I thought that would have been it right there, but we were teasing him about getting in the end zone there.
It was a big enough day as it was. By the way, that was his career long catch, 65 on that play.
He's a weapon, and we'll keep trying to find ways to get him the ball.
You did get into the end zone, though, soon thereafter. Deion Smith, another guy scoring his first BYU touchdown, and he led your offense in carries on Saturday. You ran him on jet sweep here, right?
Yeah, just a little low red zone jet sweep. We've done this play over the years with a bunch of our players, and the guys executed the play very well.
And so first touchdown for Darius Lassiter, first BYU touchdown for Deion Smith in this game. Now, Aiden Robbins, he was the 1,000-yard back last season at UNLV, still finding his footing right now at BYU. Clearly, you're going to use more than one guy. You've talked about that. Deion scored on Saturday. LJ still leads you in rush yards, and you're still confident. I'm sure that Aiden's got some big games in him as we go forward.
Sure, yeah, we're confident in all those guys. Saturday was just like I said before. It was a game where SUU was daring us to throw the ball as low as those safeties were all game. It was about the passing game Saturday. There might be games where we have to rush for 200, 250 yards to win, and there's going to be games where, we got to throw it to win. And one thing I like about our system and our team is that we have guys that we can win any style of ball game, I believe, with the players we have and the offensive system that we have. I think we're equipped to get into a shootout if we need to, or we can grind it out too, and that's something that I'm proud of about this group.
So the game situation is a factor, and the small sample size is a factor, because the rush numbers aren't overpowering right now. But no. You're saying through two games and the kind of game you just played, don't sweat it quite yet.
Not yet. I mean, we need to play better for sure. Nobody's content or feeling like we've arrived by any means. Just after one solid game, we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things we can do better as a team. But yeah, two games is definitely we've scored a lot of points here and ran the ball really well here the last few years, and I have no doubts that time is coming.
You see the ingredients that'll make a good run game for BYU this year.
We've run the ball really well all camp against our defense, but Saturday, I mean, you just go back and go ahead and look at that film and show me those safeties. Tell me what's a good run play against that. The best run play for that is to throw it over their heads, mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
And yeah, you take a look at how many yards you threw for and the big plays you got through the air that weren't there maybe in game one.
Yeah, one stat that's important to us is 10 yards per pass attempt, not completion, per attempt. I think we were 10.9 per attempt Saturday, which is...
After a low game one.
That means you are making explosive plays. I mean, you're throwing the ball down the field for big chunks. And if you're doing that and you win the turnover battle, you're going to win every time.
You had two chunk plays through the air in game one. You had eight on Saturday.
Correct. And 41 points in 55 plays. That's a lot of points for only 55 plays, and most of that is due to the chunk passing yards.
Okay, good stuff. When we come back, we'll see how BYU finished off Southern Utah and shine the light on BYU's red-hot red zone numbers. As we head to break, this reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review as they take a look at the Cougars' win over SUU. That's tomorrow, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. More with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick coming up next. This is the Coordinator's Corner brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back after this.
Keaton Slovis, a throwback. Rex makes the catch, makes the dive, has the score! Touchdown, Cougars! Rise and shout!
Following back-to-back home games to open the season for the first time in the Kalani Sitake era and the first time in 11 years, BYU now takes its 2-0 record on the road to Arkansas this upcoming Saturday. BYU got to 2-0 with a 41-16 home win over Southern Utah this past Saturday. Reviewing the game and looking ahead with BYU OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick, special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga joining us at the bottom of the hour. So you led Southern Utah 27-3 at halftime. What were your talking points at the break with that lead?
Just to keep doing what we're doing. After the first two possessions, we sputtered just a little bit, and then after that, we were playing really well. And so the idea at halftime was to keep playing clean football, keep the pedal down, and if they were going to continue to play with their safeties as low as they were, mm-hmm. we're going to keep throwing it. And so that's what we did in the third quarter. We tried to, you know, just keep throwing the ball down the field as much as we could, and they refused to change, so we just kept doing it.
You alluded in the earlier segment to the 2-for-2 on fourth downs. Your second drive of the second half got you to a 4th-and-3 at the Southern Utah 39. You went trips left. Southern Utah blitzed out of it, and you got a good pickup, and Keanu moved the sticks for you. A big play.
Yeah, and the play before that, I can't remember if it was 3rd-and-12, I think, or 3rd-and-11. It was 3rd-and-long for sure. We ran a
3rd-and-9.
Third and nine. Yeah, we ran a high percentage completion play to try to get us.
That's
close.
What I thought.
The completion might get the first down, but it's a play that's going to get us close enough to go for it on fourth.
So that was. I'm glad you said that. Now there was the play to Keanu, but yeah, it was on the 3rd-and-9 when Chase caught it, shy of the sticks the way he did. I said this is probably one of the situations where you're scheming for 2 downs and you got close.
Correct. So twice Saturday on 3rd-and-long, we ran the exact same play twice to get us to a manageable 4th down. And so even though at the end of the day it says we're 3-for-9 on 3rd down. In our minds, we're actually
five of nine
because those other 2 times we played intentionally for the 4th down conversion, and that's one of those things where the game's changing now. It's a different ball game now. You're seeing a lot of teams sequence like that to try to get to a manageable 4th.
That's exactly where I was going with this. Yeah, the third down number on its face doesn't look like where you want it to be, but you're 2-for-2 on 4th downs, and you so often are sequencing with designed 4th down plays in mind.
The 3rd down conversion statistic is not as valuable of a stat as it once was.
So if you're a team that goes for it on 4th a lot.
And 2-for-2 on 4th down Saturday is an important part of the game for us. We did a nice job in converting those.
Okay, that drive extended there on the Keanu play, and then the drive ends with Keaton Slovis keeping it on a 1st and goal from the 6. After no rushing touchdowns in 4 seasons of college football, now you've got them 3 rushing scores in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the quarterback run game will always be something that we're going to make the other team at least honor it. You know, we don't major in it. We're not reckless about it, but we're going to make you honor the quarterback. I think it's a game changer to be able to account for the QB. At least you're equating numbers a little bit. You know, now it's 10 against 11 instead of 9 against 11.
This is joking. How are his other OCs not seeing the gift Keaton has near the goal line?
He actually is not a bad athlete. He's a solid runner, and he's an excellent decision maker.
And now he's accounted for 7 touchdowns now with 4 passing and 3 rushing in 2 games. All right, your final score came after another defensive 3-and-out, forced a punt. Special teams makes another nice play to give you a short field. It was one play and a nice pocket climb. I want to show this 39-yard strike to Chase Roberts for the final touchdown pass.
Yeah, excellent pocket presence by Keaton on that play to step up. And Chase ran a really good route and made the corner fall down. It was a nice play. That's the same play that he made the big catch against Baylor last year right before half. It was the exact same play call.
And again, he twisted him up a little bit at the goal line, and safety did lose his footing, but that's on Chase. And again, Keaton did a nice job just looking downfield. He had space. He had a lot of grass in front of him. Just he knew what he wanted downfield.
Yeah, he was really solid all day. I thought he made great decisions and threw the ball very accurately. And glad we got him going a little bit.
That play came from outside the red zone, but it was another perfect day in the red zone. 4 possessions inside the 20, 4 touchdowns. You're one of only 3 teams nationally with at least 6 red zone drives and have seen every drive end in a touchdown. You're where you want to be.
That's our goal, and we only count touchdowns. If we kick a field goal, that we count that as a loss, at least offensively. We feel like that we failed if we have to kick a field goal, and we want touchdowns every time. And, it's probably not possible to be 100% all season, but that's our goal every game, is to be 100% touchdowns in the red zone.
I said you're one of the 3 100% touchdown teams with at least 6 drives. One of the other 2 is Arkansas. They're 8-for-8, and you get them. It was a shootout last year. You can't forecast anything, but they've got a great offense to kind of go toe-to-toe with this week.
Their offensive coordinator, Dan Enos, is an excellent coach. He's somebody I admire a lot, and I've watched his offenses over the years, and they do a really good job.
Okay, you took care of business Saturday, and you got some backups in the game, too, as a result. Quarterback, you did go to Cade Finnegan for the final quarterback snaps in this one.
Yeah, got Cade in there. It was good to get him in there. I wish we could have got a few more snaps and played a little bit better. One thing that was, we were pretty We want those backups when they go in there to go in there and finish the game. You know, and we don't want to go in there and go three and out like that. And we're asking those guys to show us you can play and show us you can help the team, you know, later in the season or now. And so we want to finish the game stronger. I was a little bit disappointed in how we finished that last possession, but it was nice to get those guys in and see some of them play at least for three plays.
So let's look forward in late game situations. If you are trying to close a game out with some backups, if the play calls might change, you still want the same level of execution. They're still
Absolutely.
Designed to
yeah,
gain those, yards.
Those plays are still meaningful. I mean, you're playing for an opportunity to show us you can play, you know, in later in the season, or like I said, if we have an injury or something, you're one play away from going in, and we want to finish the game the right way.
You ran 67 plays in the opener. You already talked about 55 plays on Saturday against Southern Utah. Some short fields, some quick scores, the chunk plays all kind of factored in. Plus, they did a better job, Southern Utah, of staying on the field offensively in the second half. You had only 20 snaps after halftime.
Yeah, they had a couple of drives they sustained a little bit. And then we were also playing pretty slow pace as well. We had a good solid lead, felt in control of the game. There was no reason for us to go fast there. I mean, you could go fast to try to get style points, or you can play the game the right way and get the win. And so I was, you know, 41 points in 55 snaps is still a very yeah. solid day, but there at that point there's no point in speeding up your tempo. You've got the game in hand.
Great point. As Keaton's QB coach, your thoughts on how he's settled in here through two games at BYU? I mentioned he's finishing drives for you, 7 touchdowns accounted for in 2 games.
Yeah, the main thing is he's a really good decision maker. He's making good decisions. He's taking care of the ball. You know, we have one interception that really wasn't his fault. And he's just doing a good job getting the ball to our playmakers. And I think he's going to just keep getting better and better. I mean, we're just barely getting started here. And 2 games in this offense with these players, I expect us to keep improving every week.
Are there things we're not seeing that fans won't see that you think are as important to the piece of the puzzle as anything else Keaton does?
Well, yeah, just the amount of information that's on his plate every play. I mean, we're putting a lot on him. For a guy who's only in his second game in this offense, I mean, every play he's got multiple decisions to make, sometimes pre-snap decisions to get us into the right play or out of a bad play. And then once the play starts, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. He's a really sharp guy.
Okay, that's a good segue into your pick as the offensive player of the game from Saturday.
Yeah, it was Keaton. We thought he really had a good solid day and led our team to that win. And especially you know, early in the game when it was apparent that they were daring us to throw, I thought he really stepped up to the challenge and spread the ball all over the field to a bunch of different players.
Those are Keaton's numbers from Saturday, and he's the offensive player of the game for the 41-16 win over Southern Utah. And again, after just rushing touchdowns in his first game, he had the 4 passing touchdowns, and now brings him to 72 passing touchdowns for his collegiate career.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
He's a good player.
He could end up as one of those rare 100 touchdown passes, 10,000 yard passing yards types guys. He already hit the 10K plateau. You're 2-0 through 2 games. Perfect red zone team we talked about. Only 1 giveaway. You haven't had your top playmaker, some would argue, on the field yet. Overall assessment through 2 weeks of how the offense is humming along for you.
We have a lot of work to do still. We still are making too many unforced errors, you know, too many things that are just sometimes just got to get out of our own way. But huge improvement from game 1 to game 2. We're trending in the right direction there. You know, we need to get our run game going, but again, Saturday wasn't the day to do it. Saturday was the day to throw the ball down the field, and at some point we're going to see a team that's going to not let us throw it, and we're going to have to be able to prove that we can run it. And I'm sure one of those games is coming soon. Maybe it's this week, maybe it's the next week, I don't know. But we want to just keep improving each week. That's the main thing, and then keep coming together. We have a lot of new faces that are playing together, mm-hmm. only played together for 2 games. And they're good players, but we want to just keep gelling, keep meshing together our execution cleaner each week.
All right, it is break time. As we go to break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's, quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. And this Saturday, BYU plays for the first time in Fayetteville, BYU in Arkansas. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio starts at 5:30 Eastern, 3:30 Mountain. Coming up next, a look ahead to BYU's matchup with the Razorbacks. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner on BYU TV is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's. BYU now 2-0 after a 41-16 home win over Southern Utah this past Saturday. Cougs now 18-0 all-time against FCS opponents. Now it's 10 straight power conference opponents, starting with Arkansas this upcoming Saturday in Fayetteville. Final segment with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick, presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics. Last year's game with Arkansas in Provo, a wild one. Arkansas wins at 52-35. It was a three-point game late in the third quarter. You had a fourth quarter turnover, and then Arkansas kind of ran the clock out on you with a 10-minute drive, but it was closer than the final score might indicate on first glance.
Yeah, I think we cut it to 38-35 in the middle of the third quarter, and I thought, okay, one stop and this place is going to go bonkers, and we're gonna win this thing in the fourth quarter. And then it just kind of unraveled on us there at the end, but it was quite a track meet there that day.
Arkansas has played an FCS team and a lower tier FBS squad in getting to 2-0. They've allowed one touchdown is all. Under 10 points a game through two games. Very stingy on the ground. Six takeaways already jumps out. Your early takeaway from the Arkansas defense.
They look like an SEC team. They are big and athletic and very deep. Very experienced team. Most of their defense are seniors and juniors. I think there's a couple of young guys playing a little bit, but most of the starters are seniors and juniors. And they are long and athletic. They look like an SEC defense, yes.
And so you are into SEC country. You've ramped up with a couple of games that gave you a feel for kind of who you are. How much do you have to bring up your level of play, if that's the way you want to look at it, to compete the way you want to on Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to need to play a lot better than we have in the first two games to have a chance Saturday. And I expect our players to accept that challenge, and we'll be ready. We're going to go down there and play our best.
Look forward to meeting the challenge. Coach Roderick, thanks as always for the time. You've gone three straight weeks to open the year with us. We'll take a week off with you next week, and we'll see you soon.
Good to be here.
All right, that's Aaron Roderick. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Enjoy a full hour of conversation with the coach and a player live in Studio C. You can watch Tuesdays, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and on the Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Coming up next, our conversation with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga. This is the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner on BYU TV is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. And by Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU this past Saturday, solid 41-16 home win over Southern Utah. BYU scored in every quarter under Kalani Sitake. BYU now 28-2 and has won 17 straight when scoring in all four quarters. It's a good formula. Starting our second half of the show now with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga. Coach, good to see you once again.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
You've gone through the first 2 weeks of the season with a very heavy heart as you try to do your job. What do you feel comfortable about sharing with us and Cougar Nation about how you and the Papinga family have been dealing with the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, to me and my family and Brady, you know, they've been very strengthened by just the support and love and prayers that have been given to their family over the last couple of weeks with the loss of Brady's son, Julius, who was a guy that we were recruiting, a guy that came to camp this summer and did a really good job. And
was he 17 years old?
17, yeah, 17 years old. And, you know, was a kid just on the rise of doing a lot of amazing things in his life, not just in football, but just other activities that he was doing in his community in Westlake in California out there. And so I know Brady was very appreciative, and his family, very appreciative of all the support from BYU fans and just everybody. He had received so much love and support and prayers, and you know, being with him the last 2 days was awesome to be with him and my whole entire family, and to kind of go through, you know, what it was to go through. And it was tough, it was rough, but at the same time it was uplifting, and there was hope, there was peace, there were some sad times, but at the same time I think, you know, the gospel brings us peace and hope and joy and an opportunity to, you know, be together one day. And so I think, you know, ultimately that is, you know, what helped us feel that, you know, those feelings. But, you know, I know for our family, we're just really appreciative of just everybody and their support they've given our family over the last couple of weeks.
Julius passed the week of the Sam Houston game. You coached that game, having gone through the previous days. And then you got your players ready to play the next game, the Southern Utah game. Then you left them to be with your family and attend Julius's services in California on what turned out to be a game day on Saturday.
Yeah, which was really weird. You know, so I told myself, my phone's going off. Because really the services started at 11 a.m.
there,
California time. Yeah. And so it went probably 2.5 hours. So it was halftime by the time the services down there were over. And, you know, finally it was like, you know, my family was like, go check the score, you know, because every kind of had settled down. And so, you know, it was about 2 o'clock local time there, and so I just kind of snuck away and saw the score 27-3 at halftime, and I had this one text message from a friend that said blocked punt. That's all it said, blocked punt. And I was like, oh gosh, we gave up a blocked punt. Great. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Not that we blocked it, but it just said blocked punt. So I was all, you know, freaking out a little bit, but then later find out that it was, you know, Harrison Taggart that got it, which was pretty awesome. And then your call was awesome that you made, that somebody had sent to me. But yeah, just really weird. Just, you know, put the trust in the staff and the players to go and do their thing. And Jan Jorgensen did a great job. He really stepped in and took my place in everything as the DN's coach, as a special teams coordinator. You know, Jay had an influence there as well, but Jan was really the one that called everything. And so props to him and just the rest of the staff for filling in for, you know, the things that I was usually doing on game day. They were there to do it for me. So it was awesome for Kalani to let me to go, and pretty much told me if I showed up to the game, he was going to fire me. So wanted me to make sure that I was there, and I needed to be there. And, you know, what I told everybody is, and no offense to Southern Utah or any football, it's just, it didn't matter what game was played yesterday. We could have played in Alabama. 30 years from now, nobody's going to remember BYU, whatever game they played on September 8th. But I do know 30 years from now, I'll remember that experience I had with my family and just being able to be there for my brother and their family, it was special.
Well, we'll get into the game in our next segment, but thanks for sharing all of that. I know you were proud of your guys for the way they played, and I know it was gratifying to have your coaching partners rally around you and help to share the load on a very heavy time. And again, I think you hit the most important takeaway, is that there's a lot of hope and peace, hopefully, at the end of this. Now we move forward.
Yep.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly. All right. You can get ready for Saturday's showdown in SEC country this Saturday as BYU travels to face Arkansas. Tune in to BYU Sports Nation. Game Day's expanded pregame coverage starting 2 hours prior to kickoff, 5:30 Eastern, 3:30 Mountain Time on BYU TV. Time for a break. When we come back, Coach Kelly Papinga reviews BYU special teams performance during Saturday's 41-16 home win over Southern Utah. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this.
BYU gets pressure and blocks it. The punt is blocked. It's off the fingertips and fallen on by the T-Birds at their own 35-yard line. But BYU will take over in excellent field position.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, looking back on BYU's 41-16 home field win over Southern Utah, BYU now 2-0 and takes that 2-0 record to face 2-0 Arkansas Saturday in Fayetteville. Second all-time meeting between these two teams. Razorbacks won a shootout last season in Provo. We continue our conversation now with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papinga. Special teams factored into a lot of Saturday's game-changing moments. I know the special teams began with maybe like a short punt that you wouldn't normally expect and then a missed PAT, but then it got a lot better from there.
Yeah, so, you know, after watching the film, not being there in person, the first punt of the game, we wanted to go rugby. Something that's not usually what Ryan does, but we wanted to do it just to show teams, hey, we can do it. And he has been really good at it, and he just kind of mishit the kick. The reason why we do rugby is to be able to change the kick point so teams can't just tee off on Ryan. And we're always sitting right behind the snapper. And if we can just move the pocket and move that kick point, then it moves the block point, and so they have to adjust. And so, and there'll be times throughout the year that we'll do that and just hopefully keep their punt block team, you know, on their heels. But for the majority of the time, we're going to be kicking how Ryan likes it, for, mm-hmm. you know, traditionally just behind the snapper. But yeah, he mishit that one. And then, you know, Will kind of did a, I don't want to say a lazy kick, but kind of relaxed his kick on his PAT, which tends to happen with a lot of kickers. So just being able to get him to just swing and follow through all the way. After that, he kicked great, did really good, actually. And then, you know, Ryan looked great the rest of the game too, as well. And so, you know, I think everybody expects, you know, special teams to just go perfect, because there's only, you know, I say there's 30 plays that we get. In those 30 plays, yeah, we're shooting for perfection. And, man, if we only have to deal with, you know, a punt that goes off the side of Ryan's foot that goes for 35 or almost 40 yards, and then, you know, we miss a PAT. Obviously, those can be big in games, but it didn't cost us in this game. We'll learn from those and build from there.
Tons of great and key plays after that. First key play from special teams comes early in the second quarter. After a three and out, Harrison Taggart gets in for the punt block. It set up a short field offense, scored immediately. A great individual effort by Harrison up the middle on this.
Yeah,
one.
He's been awesome all the way through fall camp, and then loved him in our first game versus Sam Houston. And then I just love his energy, the physicality that he plays with. And this wasn't even really designed for him to block the punt. Actually, the design was for Crew Wakely to come off the edge, because we were anticipating rugby, because the week before all they had shown was rugby punt. And so we didn't think they were going to do what we call pocket, where he just sits behind the snapper. And so, just to Harrison's credit, he went hard.
He just gets there.
Yeah, as you see right there, he just comes hard. He splits the shield right there, and then he's able to get his hand up right in the block point, and then is able to set our offense up with some great field position right there. So that's pretty exciting. Blocking the punt is always a big deal.
Let's go late second quarter now. BYU 4th-and-7 from its own 37. It might show up in the playbook as a standard 46-yard punt from Ryan Rico, but the height and the hang time on this one were exceptional. I had it around 5 seconds.
Yep.
And the timing on the tackle by Marcus McKenzie is perfect after that thing finally came down.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of people, if you look at the bottom of the screen right now, Marcus destroys the double team and then goes down and makes the tackle, which is unbelievable. So in that play, though, a lot of people don't notice is that he had to defeat a double team before he was able to go down and make a tackle. So really, really great effort by him. And then, you know, like you said, I think Rico's hang time, I had him at like 4.98 or something like
that's
that.
That's
right under 5 seconds, which if we can put him, you know, we hang him up for 5 seconds like that, and you can see we got three unblocked players right there, then we're going to have a great chance to cover kicks.
That's trademark what you want in every facet there, isn't
the
it?
Only thing we're going to continue, like he's got to continue, we're right after this meeting's over, we have a special teams meeting with the players to review the game, and just Ryan being able to hit his spots. He's doing a great job with distance and hang time right now. Now it's just we want to be able to shorten the field by putting the ball from what we call the alley, which is between the hash and the numbers, from the alley to the sideline. If we could put the ball there and then shorten the field, then it helps us be able to cover the field better. Like if you put the ball in the middle of the field, then you're opening up the whole entire field to that returner. So we want to be able to
narrow the focus.
Yeah. Be able to pin them near the sideline as much as we can. And when we do that, we're really, really good. But man, Ryan, you know, with the hang time and then Marcus covering right there, that was fun to see.
You had a 27-3 lead at the break early in the second half. One of the nicest long punts with good coverage you're ever going to see. Line of scrimmage was the 34. Rico booms at 64 yards, and Marcus still makes the stop for no return.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Now, granted, this one took the returner off. He had to go back, and whether you're fieldless or not, but then still, for Marcus to be right there.
Yeah, for I think what people are understanding right now is this guy has a ton of speed. And as you watch this clip right here, he had to cover a lot of ground. And really, Ryan, you know, you say you outkick your coverage. He did a little bit right there, but when you have the speed that McKenzie's playing with right there, and even Jacob Borum, who's really fast, is right down there too as well. But great tackle. He's done that now, I think, three times where this season so far, where the punter or the punt returner catches the ball and it's a bang bang, you know, tackle where he catches it and he tackles, which is, you know, great timing and anticipation by him. And continue, hopefully see him continue to do that throughout the year, because that's fun to see in the first 2 weeks, especially for a guy that's never done it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are his first two ever college football games, and for him to come out there and do it in his first two games, I just I'm excited to see how the next, 10, 11, 12 games go.
And that phrase, outkick the coverage, usually comes on the 60 to 70 yard boomers that take everyone by surprise. And so to still get the coverage like you did was amazing. BYU's final touchdown of the day was set up by a punt muff early in the fourth quarter. The wind was swirling at this point. It got crazy. It wasn't a really deep punt, but it started bouncing around and hitting people. And Marcus McKenzie was there to clean that one up and give the offense a short field.
So it's pretty interesting. What a lot of people don't know on this play is that we were actually supposed to punt the ball the other way. So it was a miss hit by Ryan. We were supposed to kick the ball to the left. The ball goes to the right. And I think it took everybody kind of by surprise, even the guy that was trying to block Marcus right there. He didn't know the ball was coming, and then it just accidentally hit him. And then Marcus, kind of Johnny on the spot, was there to be able to make the play. And so, that situation that we were in, it was a tight punt situation, what we call it, where we're inside our own 5-yard line. If you go back and look at the formation, it's a little different than our regular traditional formation. It's a formation we have to get into where we were anticipating a team's going to bring it, and we have to block it a little bit different. So that's why the formation's a little bit different. So Ryan's operation on that has to be quicker. Mm-hmm. So it's usually takes 2 steps to punt the ball. In this situation, it's 1 step. You're getting that ball out. And in that situation, SUU brought pressure. They're trying to block it. And actually, we screwed up the protection. Batty didn't get his guy initially, and right at the last second got a little push, just enough to get the guy out of the block point. But like I said, Ryan missed it. The ball should have went left. The ball goes right.
Wow.
And I think to our, fortunately for us, it happened that way because it ends up hitting the guy that, is trying to block Marcus. And, we end up getting the ball there. And then I think the very next play we scored, right?
Yep.
We throw a corner route to Chase or something, and Slovis makes a great throw.
He did. Climbed the pocket and hit him. So it's a team effort on special teams, but we just saw a lot of Marcus McKenzie there. Mm-hmm. When and how did he emerge as someone that you wanted to deploy as a weapon on punt cover?
Well, we saw it in the spring where, this guy's just coming home off his mission, and he is just – he's faster than any return missionary I'd ever seen just recently home. And we're thinking, okay, he's going to be able to help us, somewhere on defense. And then I start to see him run down in these punt drills and cover down. I'm thinking, okay, I got to find a way to get him on punt and kickoff. And, sure enough, about the last week of fall camp is when I had made that transition. We'd actually had Jacob Robinson in there. And he's a really good gunner. And, he was showing up as one of our best corners. And we just felt like, Marcus was giving us something very similar, if not better, with him out there covering. And so we just thought, man, it'll give us an opportunity to be able to rest Jacob, to be able to help him go out there and really cover some guys man-to-man and stay fresh throughout the game. And then, we're not losing anything, if not maybe gaining some now with Marcus and the way that he's playing. So you can just see these great tackles that he's made throughout the season so far. And so the biggest thing for him is not think that he's arrived, right? A lot of times when guys are young, so that's going to be my message to him here coming up here in about 30 minutes is just, hey, there's a lot more football to be played and a lot more opportunities are going to be out there. And really, he's put a target on his back. That's what happens when you're a good player and you make big plays is now he's going to be getting double teamed and there'll be different schemes that I'm sure people are going to try to do to stop him and slow him down. So I'm excited to see how he responds to those.
Well, we've talked a lot about him. Let's get to our special teams players of the week and talk more about him. He's one of two special teams players of the week you picked for the Southern Utah game.
Yeah, so, obviously Marcus, he's been awesome, like we were just talking about on punt. But then Harrison Taggart has been just, like I said earlier as well, just been great for us throughout the whole entire season back into fall camp. And he's on every special teams. Isaiah Glasker was out this last game, who was starting on our punt team. And Harrison came right in, started on our punt team, starts on our punt return team. He's on KOR, he's on kickoff, he's on every single special team that we have. And, to take every special team's rep and then be able to make that big play. And then he's making some big key blocks on punt return. He did a great job on punt return to set up some opportunities. We got to get Hobbs to catch the ball and get vertical on one of those. And we're going to have a really big return. He ends up slipping. And that's 2 weeks in a row now where we have a big return set up. And we just got to get our feet in the ground and get vertical. And he's going to have some big returns. But just really pleased with his effort. He brings great energy. The team loves him. He's the guy in the huddle before kickoff that's getting everybody fired up to go down and fly down and make a play. But just really love where he's at and really emerging as a leader in the special teams unit right now.
Okay, congrats to Marcus and Harrison as Special Teams Players of the Week. Coach Jay Hill picked Max Tooley as the Defensive Player of the Week for this past game.
Max flying around. You know, I think it's 2 weeks in a row now where I think Max has played really well, but I just love our linebacker core. I think between him and AJ and Ben, those guys are all playing at a really high level right now. And so, but back-to-back weeks for Max that he's playing well. And he's just, the thing about Max that I love is just, it's always going to be 100 miles an hour, man. You know that you're going to get that at him every single time, that it's going to be all-out effort. And the physicality that he plays with, and just excited to see him continue to progress throughout the season as well.
Even though your defensive ends coach, is a piece of your heart still with the linebackers all the time?
Always. So Justin and I'd probably get sick of me making comments about linebackers, but that's, you know, when you're a linebacker, that's where your heart's always there. But it's good. Justin does a great job with those guys, and I think really probably on our defense right now, our linebackers are playing at the highest level of any other position. And so we've got a deep group of guys and, you know, some young guys coming up, and excited for just the future of that group.
And a deep defensive staff, too. Time again for a break. As we step away, we remind you that for your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play, tune in to BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up on our final segment, Coach Papinga previews the game at Arkansas. When the Coordinator's Corner continues, it's brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU looking to go 3-0 with a trip to Fayetteville on the weekend. BYU 7-8 all time against current members of the SEC. Visiting with Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga. BYU number 2 right now nationally in net punt. Arkansas number 6.
Oh, wow.
A couple good punters right now in BYU's Ryan Rico and Arkansas's Max Fletcher. They are 3rd and 12th in punt average, so a couple good legs on display this Saturday.
That'll be fun to see how that all transpires, especially not being in the mountain air, you know, for Ryan, just to see how he adjusts to that it's always a little bit different. But I've looked at their scheme, and he does a good job. They have a different little alignment of how they do their protection, but it'll be fun to see what happens.
You weren't here last year when Arkansas went up and down the field for 52 points and 644 yards. It was Arkansas winning in a shootout. A new year, new defense for BYU, but KJ Jefferson is back. Your edge guys have a particularly important role this week dealing with KJ.
Yeah, he's a special athlete, and he does a great job of being able to scramble, make plays on the run. He's really good in the RPO game, so he knows how to, you know, hold it in the mesh and be able to get the ball out and rip it to, you know, slants and different route combinations that they have. And so, I don't know if they're running him as much as they were a year ago as like QB design runs, but they do have their situations where they do that. So we're going to have to be really good at being able to tackle him because he's a bigger, thicker guy. And so we'll see how that turns out.
We have 60 seconds left. Arkansas has yet to turn the ball over. They're 8-for-8 in the red zone with 8 touchdowns, so they're super efficient. If those numbers hold, it's tough. But BYU already has 5 takeaways. How pleased are you with the level of defensive disruption right now?
Good. I think, you know, we can get after the quarterback more. We had opportunities in that game where we hit the quarterback. Same thing in the Houston game, we hit the quarterback. Now we just got to get there a split second sooner so we can get some more sacks. But I do believe those opportunities are coming, and I think you know, for the most part, with the interceptions and the takeaways that we've had, I think we're happy at this point. 5-2 games is really good.
And happy to be 2-0, I know, most importantly.
Oh, yeah, that's the most important part. We're excited for that and excited to build on that, too.
So good to see you again, Kelly. And again, our love and that of Cougar Nation out to you and your entire family at this time as we're thinking about you and have been. All right, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for week 3 of the Coordinator's Corner for coaches Roderick and Papinga and our entire crew. My name is Greg Rubel. We'll see you next week. Go Cougs as BYU takes on Arkansas in Fayetteville this Saturday. We'll see you next Monday.